While we're waiting, I wonder if you could discuss a little bit your decision last week about allowing ID to be used with a Curie or an IRI in the context.
Allowing what to be used with it?
Allowing, do you specify an ID or a URI mapping for a context key, which is a Curie or an IRI?
Oh, did you have you? Are you asking for a summary, or are you asking for the rationale behind it?
The rationale. I think you described it. There's Marcus and I had a brief exchange on the issue that was associated with it, and I understand that you allowed that, but you were going to put a note in discouraging its use. I question whether it should even be allowed.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, we can go back and revisit the issue. I think the group basically thought that there's no harm in allowing it, but discouraging its use, meaning that the first thing that a processor should do is probably look up the Curie. So if it comes across FOF colon name, the first thing it should do is look for a direct match for FOF colon name. And if that exists, it should use as much information as possible from that mapping, right? And if it has an ID, it should go ahead and use that ID. So that allows you to specify things like FOF colon name, but not specify FOF, which I think is okay. But if people don't specify an ID in FOF colon name, it'll go back. It'll still use type coercion information that's there, but it will try and resolve the FOF colon name just looking up FOF by itself. And if it doesn't find that, then we still need to have the discussion on what happens if the term doesn't exist. But I think that's the basic algorithm, I think.
Yeah, I think the algorithm's fine, but if you follow that to a ID which is an IRI, then presumably you would look up that IRI using all the information, which would perhaps include another ID, which could potentially map to a completely different IRI, which would seem like a bad idea. But,
yes, it is a bad idea. That's why we're going to suggest that people don't do it. I guess what you're suggesting is that we don't allow ID in Curie definitions in the context at all.
I guess it depends on whether there's some possible attack vector where someone could inject something into a context which would change the meaning of the graph.
Right. Yeah. And we should be looking for attack vectors like that. I couldn't think of any. So there are a number of attack vectors when you're talking about the context, right? I mean, one of the attack vectors is if someone serves up a context over regular HTTP and not HTTPS, then that's one way that you could attack it. But it's difficult to understand exactly what types of attacks can be. The attack would have to be at the application level, right? I mean, so the language should probably allow context over HTTP. But for example, if you're using JSON-LD with PaySwarm, the attack vector would be, for example, paying the wrong person. So switching the source and destination accounts using the context could be a potential attack. But even then, see, even if you were to do that, since the let's say the financial transfer is digitally signed, the signature wouldn't match, right? So
yeah.
I guess if you want to prevent, that kind of attack, basically a context-based aliasing attack or a context-based, context-based attack, you have to make sure that you digitally sign the information in some way such that the context can't be interpreted in any other way.
You could always cause problems by redefining terms anyway. So you have to trust. If you use external context, you have to ensure that you can trust them.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I didn't see the need to completely revisit it, but I didn't really understand from the notes the rationale for allowing it.
Yeah,
but we don't need to waste time right now rehashing it.
All right, so let's see our agenda. Let's go ahead and get started. Hi, Ted. Hi, Lane.
Hello.
All right, so our agenda is here. Today on the agenda, we have a discussion about relative IRIs and terms and how we are going to allow or disallow them in JSON-LD, and then some discussion on extra functionality for lists, whether or not we want to support them or not. Scribe, Greg, would you mind scribing today?
Sure.
Great, thanks. Okay. Any updates or changes to the agenda? Anything else that we should discuss?
I have a question regarding a conversation I haven't really been able to catch up on. Let's see if I can. It was the long one with Yvonne and Marcus discussing the problem with a list as a value for the IRI, for the ID key. I'm not sure if that's in one of these issues.
It is a bit related, yeah.
Yeah.
So the issue there that I was discussing with Ivan was how you serialize two disjoint graphs in one JSON-LD document. And currently, what you have to do is have an at ID, and the value of that at ID is then an array of objects, which again contain each object contains an at ID again.
Yeah,
that structure looks a bit weird.
Which issue is that?
Well, I think we didn't create an issue for that.
Yeah, right. So we should certainly create. I think there are really two issues here, right?
At least
from looking at the email thread, the first one is the ID with a list of objects, or with a list of objects, basically is strange. People think that that's a strange syntax. And then the other, so that's kind of this idea of disjoint graphs. How do we represent disjoint graphs in JSON-LD?
Yeah.
Then the other issue I think that Marcus kind of hit on was, well, what do we do with terms that don't have a mapping in the context? Do we still treat them as a relative IRI, or do we try and ignore them completely, or something else? So
yes,
I certainly think we should turn these into issues, and we should discuss them. I don't know if we want to discuss them on the call today, mostly because I think we should hash out some solutions on the mailing list before we kind of start getting really deep into it on the telecon.
That was basically the gist of what I wondered, because then we do that and I won't focus on that today.
Okay. Great. Yeah. We should certainly have two different issues for this. And Marcus, would you mind? You've already found the issue for the disjoint graphs thing. And actually, we're gonna have a discussion on what to do with terms that are not defined in the context today. So I think we're covered as far as making sure these things are being tracked in the issue tracker.
Oh yes, that's good.
And I think David already created a issue for that multiple graph syntax.
Okay,
I just
great.
Posted the link, so there is an issue for that as well.
All right. Okay. So any updates or changes to the agenda before we start?
Yeah, maybe we should take in that multiple graphs issue and drop that discussion about at list.
Yeah.
List of lists.
At the very end, issue 60?
No, number 3, the lists of lists.
Well,
okay,
basically, so I think we can drop both discussions about lists because we wouldn't have any time anyway.
Okay,
well,
okay. Well, I mean, once we get to the third topic, let's see where we are on time. But the plan is to discuss issue 68, right? Oops. I think there's an issue with SIP2SIP. Let's wait for Nicholas and Greg to join back in.
Okay.
Sorry, I was dropped somehow.
Yeah, Greg, you're still joining through SIP2SIP, the proxy, so you might be dropped again.
I tried to do that. My account says none. It doesn't say it's using SIP2SIP, so I don't know how to avoid doing it with... I'm using Blink Light, for what it's worth.
Okay.
Do you have just under the Blink Light in the app, there is you can switch to Bonjour instead of SIP2SIP, I think. That worked for me.
Okay. Well, if I get dropped again, I'll play with it.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Issue 49, relative IRIs may clash with terms. So basically, we had made a couple of decisions a while ago that basically boiled down to we're trying to use the same algorithm to do IRI expansion, both on the left-hand side and the right-hand side in JSON-LD documents. And I think this is Greg wanted to try and make it so that we were doing that, so that we had one mechanism that people would use to expand things that could be IRIs. The downside of that is now one of the side effects is that now we're kind of allowing relative IRIs on the left-hand side in JSON-LD documents, and at least as far as our company was concerned, we never wanted to do that. We wanted people to be able to mix JSON-LD and regular JSON documents and basically have the regular JSON completely ignored when you operate on it with the JSON-LD processor. So, for example, triples shouldn't be generated for terms that don't have a mapping. When you normalize the data, they shouldn't show up when you expand or compact the data. I believe they shouldn't show up. But because we're using the standard way of expanding IRIs now, on the left-hand side and the right-hand side, we have this kind of undesirable side effect. So there could be multiple ways of addressing this. One of them is that we keep things the way they are, and we have a standard way of expanding IRIs no matter where they are. Or we could adopt two different types of data types. So on the left-hand side of a JSON-LD, the key position basically of a JSON-LD document, we could say that it must be a term or a query, a prefix-based expansion, or a full IRI. Those are the only three options. And then say relative IRIs are forbidden on the left-hand side in the key position. And on the right-hand side, we can say, well, you can use terms or queries or relative IRIs or full IRIs. Are there any other suggestions on what we might do to address this issue? Nicholas, you're on the queue.
Yeah, let me see. First off, I think that it would be sound to use the form you suggest on the left-hand side, in any case. And that only solves that particular part of the problem, right? The core of the problem was there even before we allowed anything but terms on the left-hand side.
Could you explain a bit more, Nicholas? What's the core of the problem as you see it?
It's that for any value on the right-hand side, we are not sure if we have defined, as in the example, homepage as a term. And then we, in the instance data, use a link where the ID value is just homepage. It is unclear whether that is a relative link or if we want that to be expanded to what the term is bound to.
Right. So I do think that we might want to split these two into two separate things, right? The left-hand side is the issue with the left-hand side of a key value pair is should a JSON-LD processor generate triples for a term it can't look up. Right? So that's the issue on the left-hand side. On the right-hand side, the issue is we don't know if someone accidentally places a relative IRI that just so happens to have a mapping in the context. We don't know if that relative IRI is actually a relative IRI or a term in the context. So Nicholas, what I heard from you is that you're fine with saying on the left-hand side, on the key side, that we should only allow terms or queries or full IRIs, and that's it.
Yes.
Right? Okay, and on the right-hand side, I think that the algorithm that we have is deterministic, right? If there's a mapping in, and this is not, I don't think that this is something that you necessarily like, but on the right-hand side, we certainly have a deterministic algorithm. Basically, if there is a term, if it's a query, it'll expand out using the context. If it's a term, if it's like homepage, and there's a mapping for homepage in the context, it'll expand out, right? So I think that we could keep it the way it is, but then also tell authors that if they're going to end up using relative IRIs, that it would be smart of them to use the dot slash notation or the slash notation. Right.
Yeah.
I don't think we should go so far as to require them to do so because that seems a bit draconian. Marcus is on the queue and Greg's on the queue and then Nicholas. Marcus, you're on the queue.
Well, first of all, if we distinguish between that left and that right side, as you suggested, then that wouldn't work in the context anymore, for example, because there we would like to allow that in the left and right side, right?
I'm not following.
Well, you said on the left-hand side we never allow a relative IRI.
Correct.
And on the right-hand side we do that, but have that deterministic algorithm.
Mm-hmm.
So that would mean that we also can't use that in the context anymore on the left-hand side. And the other thing
is... The context is a bit different.
Yeah. Okay, nevertheless. The other thing is, if we would have a way to distinguish between relative IRIs and terms, then we would solve the problem on either side.
Well,
so you're proposing... You're proposing that we do dot slash notation or slash notation and require that for relative IRIs?
Also because I think that makes the intention of the author much clearer than just having a term there, which, well, you don't know really what it is. And like relying on the order which they are, how they are resolved, so falling back from a full match to a term and then in the end falling back to interpreting that as a relative IRI seems a bit, well, I don't know, like a hack.
Hmm.
Well, it's more uniform, I agree with that.
Greg, you're on the queue.
Yeah, so I would support restricting the range of the left-hand side to be terms, absolute IRIs or queries, and not allowing relative IRIs there. I'm not really in favor of requiring that relative IRIs begin with a dot slash or a slash or some other distinguishing amount. That would be one that would require that all IRIs be normalized in order to remove that. Otherwise, you wouldn't really have a way of specifying something, an IRI that didn't contain in the dot slash case, for instance, contain characters which you wouldn't otherwise normally expect to see in the IRI. And as Manu had suggested, it is a deterministic algorithm. The author expresses something which is not a term query, then it's treated as a relative IRI. So I think the author's intention is clear.
Marcus?
Well, I mean, like, if we allow relative IRIs, regardless of what form they are, then we have to do URI normalization anyway. So it's not really an argument to not enforce that slash or dot slash format. Because
I don't really see why that doesn't require normalization. That requires sort of a merge semantics, but not otherwise normalization.
Yeah,
normalization would say that if a full IRI was specified that contains those relative segments, that they would be eliminated through the normalization.
Well, but if we allow relative IRIs, I would expect that I can also do dot, dot, slash, and then write something, right?
You can, as you can in any other RDF notation, but it does.
Yeah,
there's no normalization that occurs.
Where does the normalization then occur? That's the same as
if I do that in Turtle. It doesn't. Turtle doesn't normalize those IRIs. That's not part of the spec of any other RDF grammar. I've implemented them all, I think. So
let me try to reformulate it. So what's the difference of we enforce that dot slash or we allow it? Why in one case we need URI normalization, in the other we don't?
Because there would be no way to specify. In the case, let's say, where if we look at test cases where you have maybe using the relative IRI to get to a context document associated with a test, then the resulting IRI would always have a sort of a dot slash component within it, and would not just be the IRI with the base substituted, which is the way it would work otherwise, in the way that other languages work. So, and I just don't see a need to do that. It just as Manu had said, the algorithm is unambiguous about what to do.
So you would basically disallow that dot slash then, or what?
No, it's not disallowed. It just is not required. I think I would be fine with giving a note or as a best practice saying that in order to help distinguish between the case of a term, possible overlap of term and relative IRIs, using a dot slash notation is considered a best practice. I'd be fine with that. I just wouldn't want to require that relative IRIs must start with a slash or a dot slash.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Still really
I think
the disadvantage of doing that, but.
So here's the disadvantage. We are requiring authors to do something that they don't have to do in many other, if not all other markup languages, right? I mean, if you're doing a relative IRI in HTML, you don't have to lead off with dot slash. If you're doing Turtle, you don't have to lead off with dot slash. Same thing with, RDFA and all those other languages.
But there you never have terms which could clash with those relative IRIs. In HTML, you don't have them at all. And then
you have
square brackets to distinguish that.
Well, we've deprecated square bracket usage in RDFA because
I'm not saying to introduce that again. It's just we don't have any other way to distinguish that, while all other languages do have that.
What mechanism does Turtle have to distinguish a relative IRI from? I mean, well, Turtle doesn't have terms. That's one of the issues.
Yeah, and if you have an IRI, if it's absolute or relative, doesn't matter. But you have to enclose it in those pointy brackets, or how they called?
Angle brackets.
Angle brackets.
But it really is exactly the same as the RDFA case, where you've got property which could be either a term or a relative IRI. And it's determined algorithmically.
Nicholas is on the queue. Nicholas?
Yes, that's exactly the case. We are in the exact same situation as RDFA, where we have places where we use QRIs and IRIs and terms. And the difference right now between JSON-LD and RDFA is that in RDFA, the value space for property, which in our case is the same as the left-hand value, is always term or QRI or absolute IRI, whereas the value space in subject and resource attributes, which in our case always equates to the value of ID or something coerced to ID, and the value space for that in RDFA is QRI or IRI, which can be a relative IRI. In JSON-LD, we don't distinguish between these two at all, and this causes the confusion for the relative IRI versus term. The third suggestion in the currently discussed issue, there are three ways of resolving this. Hitherto, we've seen support basically only for number two, which is that we distinguish relative terms by the dot or slash. And as, for instance, Greg says, this is not as this is handled in other hypermedia formats. Many hypermedia formats allows this, but doesn't require this. And none of them, except for RDFA to date, uses terms anywhere. RDFA uses terms and JSON-LD uses terms. And we might want to consider number three instead, where we differ between ID, which works like QRI, or any IRI, and something new, possibly term, at term, or at symbol, or something to that effect, which represents term or QRI or abs IRI. And this would be the default value space for left-hand terms. This would be the only value space for left-hand values in JSON-LD. And if you wanted to use it on the right-hand value, for instance, if you want a tight way to reference types, which we do with the at type keyword, we could use a coercion, which, apart from today, would use instead the coercion on type and the new name for this value space, possibly term or symbol. Did that make sense?
Yes, I think so. So the suggestion would be to add another keyword that has a different lexical space, value space, I guess. And so you'd have two ways to specify the ID of something. You'd have, you know, let's say ID and then ID relative or something like that. Not necessarily that, but something along those lines. I think we should also keep in mind that I don't know of anyone that's actually had an issue with this. Granted, JSON-LD is it's a very, very new thing. And at least in our markup, we don't use relative IRIs just because we want to be very specific and don't want to break anything. But that doesn't mean that other people wouldn't want to do it. I certainly think that what Nicholas just suggested is a potential solution, but I'm concerned that we'd put the feature in there and hardly anyone would find a use for it, meaning that this, I think in practice this ends up not being an issue, although, you know, time will tell. If it is an issue in time, we can always introduce the feature later, so that people that wanted to use relative IRIs and be sure that they'll be, you know, viewed as a relative IRI could do so. We could always introduce a feature later. Greg, go ahead. Sorry, you're on the queue.
I don't really see the need for another, because I don't think there's a case where we have a keyword where the range would be different. It's really the left-hand side issue where there is no keyword involved. So, my feeling is we should pretty much keep things as is with regard to the algorithm, other than to restrict the range of the left-hand side to be similar to what we do in RDFA and prohibit relative IRIs.
Okay. So let's go ahead and do a straw poll to see what people's thinking is at this point. And then if we have consensus, we can move forward. Marcus, is there anything else that you wanted to add before we do the straw poll?
Well, like issue 56 is closely related to that. So if we don't have a way to distinguish that on the left-hand side, at least, we can't have any terms which are not mapped to, or which don't create some triples. So
that's
either
true.
We disallow relative IRIs on the left-hand side, or we introduce a mechanism to distinguish them on the left-hand side.
We might want to do that anyway.
Yeah.
What?
We might want to have some other way of specifically saying something's ignored. For instance, an at comment keyword, or if you had a term which maps to null or something similar to that.
But this is the case where you use keys which are not defined at all.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Well,
that we might do both things.
I think we're conflating things a bit. I think we should be very careful not to. So what we're talking about right now is the allowable range. On the left-hand side and the right-hand side. And issue 56 is what do you do when something's not in the allowed range, right? So I think they are different issues. They are related. I agree, Marcus. They are related, but I think they're different issues, and we should keep issue 56 in mind. But let's go ahead and straw poll to see what people think, and let's try and do something atomic. So the proposal would be to constrain the left-hand side of JSON LD key value statements by only allowing terms for prefixes or prefixed
QRIs.
Values. Well, so we don't use the word query. I know exactly what you mean, but let's try and stick with the terminology.
Yeah, you're right.
To see if it actually works in practice. So allowing terms or prefixed values or absolute IRIs. Dealing by only allowing terms or prefixed values or absolute.
Do we use the term prefixed value?
Sorry?
Do we use the term prefixed value? I think we use something slightly different.
Yeah, we do use something slightly different. I can try and look it up.
I'm looking quickly.
It's not P name, that's for sure.
Oh, please. Not that question again.
We just say it's the form prefix suffix.
Yeah. You may need to come up with a term like that. Okay, well, anyway, that's good. So that's resolved. The next one is proposal allow terms or prefixed values for absolute IRIs or relative IRIs on the right hand side of JSON LD key value statement.
This is for the intent.
Sorry, I didn't understand.
The proposal now is that we, for the intent of allowing it, not how to allow it.
Yes.
That's
yeah,
good.
I think
we should determine that first.
Okay. So the on the right-hand side, allow terms or prefix values or absolute IRIs or relative IRIs on the right-hand side of key value statements. So this is basically what we already did, right? And then the next proposal will be how we allow that to happen.
Yeah, how we distinguish.
And then we probably need a proposal about ignoring key, well, how to deal with keys that do not map to IRIs.
Yes, and that's next
we need discussion
issue?
About that.
Yeah, I think that's the next issue, isn't it?
Specify
how terms are treated when they're not specified in the context. So that's
right.
The next issue. We will get to that. Dave Lane, plus one, minus one, plus zero. Okay, so that's resolved. Okay, so the next proposal is, this is on the right-hand side of statements. If there is a conflict, no, if there is ambiguity over whether the right-hand side of JSON LD key value statement is a relative IRI or an absolute IRI. Let's see. Absolute IRI.
Can there be ambiguity?
No, yeah, I should use a different word. Hold on, let me try and find a different word. If a mapping exists in the context, the value expands to the if there is doubt over whether the right hand side, or for the avoidance of doubt, if the right hand if the right hand side of a JSON LD key value statement is a relative IRI, and if a mapping exists in the context. If the mapping exists in the context for that value, the value expands to the value in this is a tongue twister.
I don't see how there's any doubt. Either there's a mapping, or there's not. It's not. There's no. Two processors must always do exactly the same thing.
Okay, so let's do this then. If the right-hand side of JSON LD key value statement is a relative IRI, and if a mapping exists in the context for that value, the value expands to the value in the mapping in the context.
So that implies then that a valid key in a context is a relative IRI, that a relative IRI is a valid in the key position within a context.
Regardless of form? I mean, dot, dot, slash.
Well, yeah, so for instance, A slash B, could that be in the key position of a context? And my opinion would be no.
No, we just disallowed that before.
Did we? In context? Context is like a pretty strict comparison, right? It's I mean that's not a it's not a relative IRI. That's really just a it's a string. It's an opaque string.
Doesn't this basically come down to order of operations, order of processing?
It does.
So rather than a million if-thens, how about process first with this, then with that, then with that?
Right. And I think that well, that's what we have right now, right? So what we have right now is you try and resolve the value in the context, and if it doesn't, if you can't resolve it, then if you're on the left-hand side, you ignore it. That's a proposal. And then on the right-hand side, it's a relative IRI relative to the base. So I believe we're doing what you're suggesting, Ted.
Well, I guess what I'm seeing here as a proposal is either redundant in if we've got that order of operations already defined, or it's needlessly confusing and could be solved by defining that order of operations.
Yeah, so I think it's the first thing. I think it's redundant, but we don't have a proposal in resolution on the books that says that that's what all of us had agreed to or are agreeing to. So I guess what we're trying to do, if you can think of a different way to word that, Ted, that'd be great, but what we're trying to do is get something on the record to say that we agreed to do it this way. Nicholas, you're on
but
the
queue.
Nicholas and then Ted.
It appears that there is a bit of confusion around whether A slash B could be interpreted as a term. I believe that the instinct most people have is no, but this is the kind of thing that recently cropped up in RDFA due to, well, there are two examples of strange term-like things, and one of them is schema.org, which uses slash as the way to define sub-properties. So you can have something like, well, knows slash friend, and that would be a term according to schema.org, the schema.org item prop concept. Also, we have the confusing case of Facebook's open graph, where this is not actually relevant because they only use QRIs, but they have two or more colons in some of them, well, at least two in some of them. And so this is makes this a bit more complicated. So the key first question to be resolved, I think, is whether or not terms are allowed to contain slashes or even colons.
Currently, the term is defined as an NC name, so neither slashes nor colons are allowed.
No. And based on that, we have already disallowed the use of A slash B on the left-hand side.
Yes.
Yeah, but we definitely don't want to disallow the use of a colon on the left-hand side, since last week we just accepted that you can use queries on the left-hand side. So obviously that does need work.
But we allow queries there as well, so that's okay. We just don't allow A slash B in the context.
Yes, exactly, because that would be a relative IRI, which we just disallowed.
Yes.
I don't really know why we should disallow it.
Well, I don't know that our statement disallows it, since I think the rules and the context are different. When we talk about the key position, I think we're generally talking about the JSON-LD body, not the context itself.
Yeah,
but
and
I
in
think
the context,
that is a question that we need to resolve.
Yeah. Ted had something else to say before.
It seems to me that if we're going to make a general statement of this is how you should do it, and then we have to cover every special case within what might happen, the document becomes unwieldy and unusable.
Mm-hmm.
If the order of operations says process this, or process your content by this rule first, and then based on what comes out of that, process it by this rule, and then based on what comes out of that, process it by this rule, then all these random special cases are covered by what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sure, if there's something that's confusing and might be misinterpreted, then say, this is a confusing thing. Because you're doing this first, it's covered.
Yeah.
But that is not a special case definition of what to do. It's an explanation of why it works the way it does.
So, Nicholas?
Yeah. I think the core issue still is that relative IRIs and terms are very close to each other, and we don't really know how people will want to use these.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not religious about the third solution using distinguishing between the value spaces, but I think that it is the way to solve it with the least ambiguity and the least risk of confusion.
So again, I don't think that there is, okay, so the way the rule's written right now, it's certainly not ambiguous. You could certainly argue that it's confusing, but going back to what Ted said, I think that the rules that we have right now are pretty simple, right? So when you are expanding something on the right-hand side, you look up the exact value. You do a string equality comparison for everything against everything in the context. And if there's a direct equality comparison match, you expand it to whatever that value is, right?
Yeah.
If there isn't, you split on the colon, you look up the left-hand side, and if there's a prefix for that in the context, you expand that prefix and then tack on the part to the right-hand side. So that's a query case.
Yeah.
And then if there is absolutely no mapping in the context, it's a relative IRI.
Yeah,
right?
It's an IRI.
It's an IRI.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think those rules are pretty simple.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think people,
but we
right.
still have the problem on the left-hand side with that /friend, for example.
And I think that that follows. We could do it the same way. It's not a relative IRI. It's you look that value up. You look the exact. You do a string equality comparison on everything in the context. And if something exists in the context that's a direct equality comparison for that, you expand it out. Right. So that would basically say that we allow slashes in terms. It's a weird case, but I think that if we try and disallow it, we end up making the processing rules more complicated needlessly.
But if we allow that, then we could all that would lead to prefixes, which could contain slashes as well. So you could, for example, define a prefix which is http://, or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, you could do that. I don't know why anyone would do that, but that's. I don't know if we need to prevent people from doing
people,
that. I don't think
people do dumb things all the time. If there is something that we know is going to lead to problems, we can explicitly say, if you do this, you're going to have a problem, or we can say this is a reserve term. You can't do that. But that does not mean that we have to have infinite if this, then that for processors. And people make bad data. And
yeah.
People need to do stuff to clean up bad data. That's okay. Nothing. There's no rule that says we have to make everything infinitely easy.
Either we make the rules simple and explain what might happen if people misuse them, or we distinguish between use cases and make clear alternatives.
Well, I think the rules are simple, but we have to just define what the value space of the key position in the context is that establishes the sets of things that might be looked up. It was simpler when it was NC name or blank. We added Curie and absolute IRI, I believe. I think that's probably what we need to make explicit.
Okay.
Well, again, I think having that slash, dot slash, would still be like the clean solution. I still can't see any problem with that.
I don't think that I don't think the issue is that there's a problem with that. I think the issue is in mandating it as the solution, and I think the concern that both Greg and I have is in mandating it. Right? We can put in a best practice. We can put in a note. We can say, hey, if you're using a relative IRI, you really should start it off with dot slash to prevent any kind of ambiguity. Otherwise, you could shoot yourself in the foot. Make that very clear in the specification, but I think that, and I feel pretty strongly about this, we absolutely should not mandate that is the only way you can do a relative IRI.
Yeah, well, but now we are disallowing relative IRIs on the left-hand side because we have no other way to distinguish them. So if you would just require that dot slash, we could allow them everywhere.
But why do we
really
need relative
IRIs?
Right, but why do we need relative IRIs on the left-hand side?
Well, there could be a couple of cases, the same as everywhere else.
Well, we have cases for the right-hand side. But what is the use case for the left-hand side? Why would anyone, want to do that?
If you serve your document from a path that is relative to your ontology's IRI, then you could do that.
But why wouldn't you just specify a prefix and use that instead? It doesn't prevent the use cases, what I'm getting at. So you don't need relative IRIs.
Well, then we could just disallow relative IRIs at all. Nothing. We would not stop any use case by disallowing relative IRIs. It's just a convenience.
I'm a bit Pythonic on this. Situations, I think that we should not allow complex things to happen, and that would be very complex.
What would be very complex?
Allowing relative IRIs as keys.
Yeah. Greg, you're on the queue.
Yeah, I won't put that out. I think one of the use cases of JSON LD is to be able to provide meaning to existing JSON documents, in which case they might not conform to our ideas of what should be in a key position, which could presumably include something that looked like a relative IRI. So if we want to be the most inclusive, then we should provide for that, which would imply allowing for terms that have the form of a relative IRI to be given meaning, which I'm arguing against my previous restriction in restricting the key position in a context from being a relative IRI. If we do that, then it allows you to create a context that could be applied to someone else's JSON, not JSON LD, that in which you provide a mapping for that.
Nicholas?
Yeah, I'm not really sure that this kind of inclusion is good, because I don't think that if we strive for this kind of inclusion, we are not doing enough, because it's much... At least as likely that the meaning of the key position is something else than a property. The meaning of the key in RDF JSON is the subject in the root level. In certain JSON forms I've used, for instance, the language as a key. And there are many other cases where there are generic dictionary representations in JSON which does not map to the concept of a property in JSON-LD. And I think that we are shooting ourselves in the foot if we're trying to be too inclusive about that.
Well, what we could do is if we don't know where this stuff is going, we could be overly restrictive in the beginning and not allow any kind of relative thing on the left-hand side, meaning we don't allow slashes. And then later on, if we find that people really want to do that or that people in the wild are putting slashes in the left-hand side, then we can allow it at that point. Nicholas, you're on the queue.
Yeah. As an appendix to my previous reflection, and I agree with you, by the way, one possible thing, which I also think that, just as you said, we should not allow, but just to make you think a bit, is that we discussed previously that perhaps container could be this very powerful construct where if we would use that, could say that, well, the values for properties, we can say that the objects for these things could be something very special. For instance, like before, language map or IRI map. I'm not suggesting that we should do that, but this makes us, that would enable many more complex things very strictly, very predictably.
Okay. So we're at the top of the hour. I don't know if there's a clear... I think what we might be able to do is do a proposal and say that you don't allow stuff with a slash on the left-hand side of a JSON-LD document, but we already basically say that in the spec, right? We already disallow slash for the NC name. So I'm trying to think of anything else that we could... Well, it might be useful to at least get that down. So, disallow slash on the left hand side of JSON LD key value statements.
Well, wouldn't it be simpler to do a throttle on keeping it as NC name?
Sure. The lexical space for JSON LD for keys in JSON LD key value statements is there's a different lexical. Is the lexical space for keys for a prefix and the suffix NC name, is that both, or is the entire thing NC name? And if the entire thing is NC name, then we have to also say that we allow colons.
Term is an NC name, or the prefix portion of essentially a query is an NC name, and otherwise an absolute IRI is allowed.
Okay. Case for keys in JSON is. If a term, NC name, if a prefix, NC name for the prefix, otherwise the lexical space for an IRI. Does that work?
I'd say that we make the same statement if it's not clear about in the context as well.
We are saying an absolute IRI there, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
But the lexical space for an absolute IRI and an IRI are the same, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Those with those keys, we also mean the keys in the context, right?
That was what I was. Let's just follow that up with another proposal that makes that clear.
Okay.
If this passes.
Okay. Lane, Ted, Nicholas, still waiting on plus one, minus one, plus zero.
Sorry, I got distracted here. Let's
I just like to mention that this would not make JSON-LD isomorphic, if you will, with terms in schema.org and microdata.
I think the schema.org, I treat them as relative IRIs. If you use vocab as for schema.org, then they resolve relative to that as relative IRIs. And I believe that whole thing is being revisited anyway, since it's very messy.
Yeah. I just wanted to make it clear that this is slightly different. You couldn't take schema.org in microdata and express it exactly the same in JSON-LD with this.
Yeah, I don't know if you would really need to do that, right? I mean, as long as you can express it and it's fairly straightforward, I don't think it's that terrible of a thing.
No, I agree. Just it would be a bit more complex than a copy-paste translation.
Yeah. Okay, so the next proposal up is lexical space for keys in JSON-LD context.
Does this in any way prohibit the use of language, the language key, for instance? With the app?
I think app's allowed in NC name.
Well, but that's I think keywords are, we treat keywords differently. So
might want to add. Well, yeah, that's beyond. It's in both of these, they are necessary anyway.
They're explicitly provided for.
Yeah. Just wanted to.
Ads allowed.
Yeah.
I believe. Well, I mean, the range for char in XML is. Hex 20 to hex D7FF. I'm pretty sure at's in that range. Look it up in the ASCII table. Just to
I'm
make
sure it is. It's not a control character.
All right. It's hex 40, so yes, at's allowed. Waiting on Lane and Ted. All right. Okay. I think that's the call for this week. We're having issues created at a faster rate than we can get through them. So we may want to do a super session, which is basically a two-hour block to deal with a lot of these issues in the next couple of weeks. I think that there a lot of them are fairly, I think, small issues that we could get through pretty quickly, but. Just something to keep in mind. Maybe not next week, but the week after, depending on when people's availability is. Okay. Anything else that we should keep in mind before the call next week?
I think there was an interesting thing on the list about JSON-LD macros from Melvin. Yeah, it deserves some. I haven't been able to formulate a response to that. I think it's pretty interesting, and it looks like almost a generalization of framing.
I didn't read it like that, but I didn't spend too much time looking at it either. It seemed like a transformation language, rather than just framing. Framing's a bit simpler.
We had looked at
that macro type approach before and basically like abandoned it because it was so complicated to do. Like it's its own language. It's a language in its own right, right? It's not just which framing is as well, but it's pretty, at least to me, it struck me as really complicated. I mean, it's neat that someone like went to the trouble to implement it, but at the same point, I'm just kind of like writing the spec for that could be a nightmare.
It's GRDDL for JSON-LD.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it's an interesting application, and I'd like to encourage more things like that. I wasn't suggesting that it would impact the language itself, but
It's nice to see it's being used.
Yeah. You're absolutely right, Greg. I didn't mean to say that it's not useful. It certainly is. I agree, Nicholas. It is neat to see people kind of building on top of JSON-LD already, doing stuff like that. All right. Go ahead.
It also sort of implies that there are forms of JSON that cannot in any reasonable way be shaped into JSON-LD by smart context definitions.
Yeah.
Which is to be expected, of course. I mean, even with some kind of container magic, it would be very hard to allow for anything.
Yeah, and we kind of gave up on trying to do that about a year and a half ago. It was just, you know, we started off basically making this sweeping statement that you could, using JSON-LD, transform any data structure that you had into triples, and we found out that fell apart, or that concept fell apart very quickly with certain types of data. All right. Thanks, everyone, so much for the call and the great discussion. Have a great week, and we'll chat next week.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Bye.